Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show, Big Preview Show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is definitely time to talk hoops. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up with your questions, NBA predictions, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check us out at rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us, Facebook us. We're everywhere, Ray. We got some great guests joining us. Looks like we're going to have Ian Begley from ESPN New York and the Knicks beat writer. And then our boy from SNY and the Knicks Blog Talk Radio, Anthony Donahue. So a lot of Knicks and NBA talk. I'm hyped up, man. I'm hyped up. Are you ready?
You know what? I'm actually not ready. I'm thinking baseball's in the World Series. Football's right around the halfway point. And I know basketball's right there. It's starting tomorrow. But
All four major sports, right? On Tuesday, it'll be the first time, or the last time, yeah, that all four major sports are on, only time in the season. So that's kind of cool. And you know what? Mike Vick is starting next week. Geno got benched. But we'll talk NFL at the end of the show. So you NFL fans, listen and, you know, check us out. So congrats to LeBron James, Ray. He joined you with having a baby girl. He already has, I think, two or three boys, and now his wife had a baby girl. So that's pretty cool. We got to give him props. And let's start there. I got to ask you, we have some questions about, you know, whether the Spurs are going to repeat. But I want to ask you, are the Cavs love LeBron, Kyrie Irving, and maybe to be continued with more bench help? We'll see if Ray Allen joins them. But is that big three? Are they the next big three?
They can be. And I think they will be, especially after LeBron settles in with Kevin Love and they figure out how to play together. And Kyrie Irving, for the first time, except for maybe the All-Star game, plays on a team where he's not the best player. You could argue he's the third best player. So their only competition is Chicago, and that's formidable because Derrick Rose might just win himself another MVP. So I think it's a two-team race. I think it's Chicago and Cleveland in the East. So flip a coin right now. Right now, I got to give Chicago a little bit of an edge because they've played together. Most of them have played together, and Cleveland's new. But I don't know. By midseason, I might have to go with Cleveland in the final.
Right, but they do have three big pieces, and we'll talk about it when we preview some of these free agency moves. Mirotic, McDermott, Heinrich comes back full time, and then Rose coming back, and then Paul Gasol. So that is a big mix of their rotation, nine, ten rotation. That's going to have to really contribute. And I just think Gasol with Gibson and Noah makes them so versatile and talented. Probably the best passing front court in a long time, you know, for the NBA.
Yeah, and they're all long, and when they want to, they can play big, specifically Gasol. So when they're at the top of their game, they should be the best team in the East. The only problem is the best player in the East is LeBron James, and the best player in the NBA is LeBron James. And you give him Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, their big three are better than anybody else's big three. The problem is the next five for them are still a little bit unproven. So you got Dion Waiters, and you've got Tristan Thompson, and you've got Andy Varejao, and you've got a few guys that have had some success but really have never played deep into the playoffs, and that's what we're talking about, right? We're not talking about winning 50 games, 55 games, 60 games in the regular season. We're talking about can you make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the NBA Finals? And really nobody on Cleveland, or for that matter Chicago, except for the new guys they've brought in, have that experience, right? If you think about it, only Gasol and LeBron James have that experience. Noah's been through, and Taj Gibson have been through some playoff battles. But
right.
Really, at the
and
end
it played
of the day,
well.
Both teams are inexperienced
well
when it comes to deep playoff runs.
No, that's true. But Noah and Gibson, they played well in the playoffs and really pulled some upsets in the last 2 years in the playoffs with you know, having a lesser roster, not having D Rose, they overachieved, we would all say. I think what's interesting when you look at us, and we'll talk to ESPN, Ian Begley shortly, and Anthony Donahue, when you look at the Knicks in the local area, the All-Star game is in New York this year. That's going to be fantastic. The festivities Saturday night are in Brooklyn. So we'll wonder if either of those teams or both of them will make the playoffs, and who's the king of New York. Both of them have new coaches, Derek Fisher for the Knicks. The Brooklyn Nets have got the veteran Lionel Hollins, who we both think, you know, should have never been let go in Memphis, and is a great coach. And it'll be interesting to see how these rosters gel, because they both have a mix of players coming back from injury, and some new players, and then some players that need to step up, like a Hardaway for the Knicks. And then for the Nets, you know, can Plumlee, from the World Cup experience, can he develop more, and can D-Will and Lopez stay healthy? So those are going to be some interesting questions that will have to get answered pretty quickly, because the Eastern Conference, it's not as weak. How do you think it's a lot better than last year?
I think it's better because Atlanta gets Horford back. Philly gets their guys back. The draft picks, the injury, Nerlens Noel. Miami's weaker, obviously. Chicago gets Rose back. Pau Gasol comes to Cleveland. So I think at the top it gets better. At the bottom, the bottom of the East is still pretty weak. I think Orlando, Milwaukee, and those guys are still pretty weak. I think a big hit that the East took is Paul George. And Indiana goes from being a top team to, I had them in the playoffs, but I think I might have to revise that. I think I might have to bump them out of the playoffs.
Well, and you know, West is going to miss some games, and so is George Hill to start the season. So they're really in a bad place. And I was questioning. I was like, what's up with Ray? I don't know if the Pacers
are
really...
Ray might have been drinking that Midwest Indiana juice too much. I have to revise that one on the fly because I gave Indiana too much credit. And Larry Bird, this is not what they say. That's not Larry Bird walking through the locker room.
No, Stucky and C.J. Miles are not they're not big pimping. I don't think so. You know,
No.
It'll be interesting to see. So what about the Spurs? Before we get into the preview, and then Ian should be with us hopefully in a couple of seconds, are the Spurs really, and Leonard wants an extension, you know, might not get the max that he wants, same with Klay Thompson, so we can talk about that too, but are the Spurs really still the championship team that we saw last year that dismantled and destroyed the Heat?
I don't see why not. They're as good as they're going to be, right? They're not going to get any better. Kawhi Leonard is young, and he's going to grow into what I believe is an NBA star. But everybody else is a little bit older. So the Spurs are who they are, and they're fantastic. The question is, are the Clippers and the Thunder going to catch them? If they're healthy, they both can give them a heck of a seven-game series. So I still think the Spurs are a top three, maybe top two Western Conference team, and a team that will make it to the Western Conference Finals. And depending on matchups, they could get knocked off. They really could. Hold on. We have a caller here.
Yep.
Let's put the caller in. That might be Ian. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Doing okay, good. Thanks. You guys okay?
Yeah, Ian. We're excited and hyped up. The NBA season is upon us. Our juices are flowing, ready to, you know, put on the high tops. I don't know if you know it's the Nike Dunks, throw on some old Chuck Taylors, you know, however people like to roll. But I want to jump right into it with you. I mean, Knicks make a minor trade today, not that big of a deal. But I guess when I look at this team and I look at this roster, my major question looking at the NBA and the Knicks is this. Is the triangle a good offense and a good fit for Melo and the roster that we start the season with for the Knicks?
Listen, I don't think it's so much about Carmelo. It's about his teammate, and will he trust his teammates to make that extra pass, and will he trust his teammates to make that shot once he makes the pass? Because we've seen in years past when guys are knocking shots down around Carmelo, he's more than willing to give the ball up. But when that's not happening, you know, he tends to take it all upon himself. And if he tries to do that in this offense, things are not going to go well for the Knicks.
That's very true. You know, that's definitely a concern. So looking at his help and you know, a former All-Star, I want to ask you, Ian, will Amari be a factor in this offense and play a little center and forward, or will he, by the deadline, be traded?
Don't think they're going to find any takers for Amari just because of, you know, his deal and his knees, you know, the uncertain nature of the knee injuries and what that could mean. I think that affects his trade value big time. So I think he'll finish the year with the Knicks. It's a matter of whether he does so being able to play or if he gets hurt again. The Knicks are hoping, best case scenario, that he stays healthy and can contribute for 75 games about. So that's the best case scenario for them. But as always with Amari, you just wonder if the knees are going to hold up.
Yeah,
true.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's hard to predict. Let me ask you something else when we're putting on our prediction hats. How long do you think the fans give Derek Fisher and, for that matter, Phil Jackson, you know, the honeymoon period? So if the Knicks get off to a bad start, not saying they will, but if they do get off to a bad start, when do the fans start to get restless with the new system and the new offense and the new GM and the new coach?
I think, you know, with this season, I think people who have been paying attention, you know, would realize that this is just a season for them to take a positive step after that last year, that 37-win season. They're just looking to take a step in the right direction and set these contracts at the end of the year and then see what they can do in free agency. They're going to see if they can build a team they can compete with the Chicago's and the Cleveland's and the San Antonio's and the Oklahoma City's, because I think realistically they know that's not the case right now. This isn't going to be a year for them to make a deep playoff run. So they just want to see that the players take a step in the right direction as far as playing within the triangle, playing good defense, and then take it from there.
Yeah, and speaking of that, so that's an excellent point. I hope the Knicks fans heed your advice because, you know, Knicks fans get restless. They want to, you know, start 10-0 every season.
That building starts rocking, Ian.
Oh,
of
boy.
Course.
But
of course.
What do you think about the Knicks? How well-positioned are they, given that Phil's the GM and he's got his 11 titles and Derek's got five of them with him? How well-positioned are the Knicks for 2015 and 2016 even and making a run for a Kevin Durant or for another mega star and bring that star to New York?
I think part of the answer to that question is what happens this year. Does this look like a franchise on the rise with potential free agents, or, you know, if they take a step back, the guys on the outside looking in and say, this is a place that I don't want to go to because it doesn't seem like they're going in the direction towards building a contender. And then it depends on what they show this year to a potential free agent.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree, and we should record you and play your message, you know, mid-season and at the end of the season for the Knicks fans.
No, definitely. Hey, Ian, let me ask you this. Can the three shooting guards, And it's sort of, you know, you reported it on Twitter, and everybody should follow Ian, at Ian Bagley on Twitter, and you reported that the starting lineup, at least opening night, will probably add Jason Smith at power forward and Shump at the starting two. But can JR, Timmy Hardaway Jr., and Shumpert, can they all sort of share minutes and be productive scorers for this team that we need to get, you know, into the playoffs? What do you think about that?
That's a great question, and the reason to think that it can work out is because those guys can play multiple positions in this offense. They can be what's called the lead guard, which is the position that most closely resembles a point guard. They can play off guard. They can play small forward. So those guys are interchangeable. But the question that you have is, how will that one guy who came into the season thinking he was going to get big minutes but doesn't play as much as he thought he was going to, how will that guy respond? Will it become a distraction with the team? Will it become a sideshow? Will they be professional about it? The other thing you wonder is, how does Derek Fisher make the enough minutes for the two guys that don't start? Will there be enough minutes to go around? Probably not. But how does that situation play itself out?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see. And I think Hardaway looked good in summer league, which is some of my favorite time of the year. And I think Hardaway might be a budding star. I really do. You know, I tease Ray about that. Ian, he's got to watch Summer League, right? Summer League's good stuff, man.
I watch Summer League. I just don't draw the conclusions necessarily that you draw. Because these guys don't always get that playing time. Speaking of playing time, what do you think about Jose Calderon? I mean, he's a veteran. He's been around the block. We've seen him be a great assist guy and you know, a great team guy. What do you think about him in his new role?
Well, listen, they think that he can be a great piece in the triangle because you would think with this offense, the defense is collapsing on Carmelo Anthony, that Calderon will get open looks on the perimeter. He's been one of the best outside shooting point guards in the NBA, hitting better than 44% of his threes last year. So if that's the case, he's knocking down those shots, which just makes that offense hum that much better. The question about Calderon is on the defensive end, though. You wonder if he can get stops, if he can stay in front of guys. That's been an issue with this Knicks team last season, and they certainly don't want it to bleed over into this season. So how do you deal with that on the other end when you're playing Calderon?
Definitely. Well, Ian, you know, we thank you for your time. You're, you know, friends of the show. You always come through for us. We really appreciate it. I got to ask you, Ray and I, you know, we're making our picks, and we want to think good about New York. Best case scenario, where does the Knicks finish? And also, can you give us your NBA Finals pick? And we will hold you to it.
I think if the Knicks stay healthy, they could get in the playoffs at the 18th, maybe win, you know, 42 games. That's the best case scenario for this team. As far as the finals go, I'm going to go with San Antonio, Chicago, and I'm going to go with San Antonio. I can't pick against the Spurs until they show me that they are as old as people want to predict they are, and they are not championship caliber anymore. Until
that
happens,
that's
Timmy
winning his
sixth. Them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That put Duncan in some serious steps
that's
for the legacy.
Air.
Yeah, rare
yes.
air. That's
yes.
No, that's great. How good do you think the Cavs will be real quick?
I think it's going to take them a little time to get everything together. And I think, you know, you see the progression in the NBA. You make the playoffs and you can run in the playoffs. You lose, you come back the next year, you go deeper, you lose again, then you get to the finals. I think that's what we're going to see with this Cavs team. Maybe they make a nice run in the playoffs, but I don't think you get all the way there because you have to learn how to win together before you can reach that ultimate goal.
Definitely.
All right, fair enough.
Sounds great.
We'll have you on again and check out your predictions. Hey, Ian, we love your work. We loved you online, and now you're on TV more and more, so keep up the good work on any of, you know, all the multimedia platforms.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ian, for joining us. Talk to you soon, buddy.
And hope to have you back.
Take care, guys. Definitely. Take care.
Take care. Thanks again.
That was awesome. That was Ian Begley, Knicks beat writer of ESPN. You can also check him out on ESPNNewYork.com. Great writer, but really good post-game with the questions and the interviews. Love Ian's work. So, and he's always a great friend of Ray and Tay today. Remember, he was on with us playoffs. He's been on with us for, you know, predictions last season. And when Mike Woodson got fired, we had the exclusive with that same day, the first, you know, the next day with Ian Begley on Ray and Tay. So keep listening. Ray, let's jump into it. Let's start with the Eastern Conference. And I guess we work our way down. Who do you have as the number one seed in the East?
Well, you know, I went back and forth. You know, it comes down to Cleveland or Chicago. It comes down to which team you think is going to do their thing, you know, in the regular season and then in the playoffs. So I actually think, believe it or not, I think that Cleveland is going to be the number one seed in the East.
Wow. Okay. That's going to be interesting, especially defensively. I got to sort of agree with Ian, and I'm going to say the number one seed is the Bulls. I think Rose looks good, not necessarily MVP good, but I think he's ready. But I like Butler and Snell developing more offensively. Thibodeau, great coach defensively. And then Gasol, McDermott, and Mrazek, I think, and then Kirk Heinrich. my four white boys. You know what I'm saying? I'm down, you know, like a fantasy football. I got my white receivers.
Jordy
Nelson. I feel the same way, baby. They're taking me to promised land. In basketball with the Bulls. So I really think the Bulls will be the number one seed and very strong. And then obviously, two, you must have the Bulls, do you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So, I mean,
and
it really comes down to those two teams. I think the drop off between the next few teams is tremendous. So, I going down the Eastern Conference, so I have Cleveland, Chicago, and then I have, you know, hosting the first round playoff games, I have Washington and Toronto at 3 and 4.
Okay, well, I have the same thing. I've got the Cavs at 2, so we switch 1 and 2. I have the Wizards at 3 and the Raptors at 4. The Wizards, I think, will be able to hold off, you know, the first 18, 20 games without Beal, just because Glenn Rice Jr., Gary Temple are pretty good. But I do believe Otto Porter is going to develop a little bit. And Paul Pierce, the veteran, Ray. You know how we feel. How many veterans are out there peddling? So we're both the same with 3 and 4. Who do you have at 5?
So at 5, I have Miami. I think Dwayne Wade can still carry that team, and they could still be pretty decent, and they could still put together 40, 42, 43 wins. And then I had the Indiana Pacers, but you know what? I gotta check myself. That's crazy.
Let's keep it rolling the same together. At 5, I have the Heat. So that 4-5 matchup, we both have Toronto, Miami should be interesting in the first round. Now, I'll say before you say anything, I have the Hornets at 6, and I think they're so improved with the New York City backcourt of Kemba Walker. Lance can make you Dan Stevenson. The rookies, P.J. Harrison, Noah from North Carolina in the D League, who's a stud, killed it in summer league. Noah Vonleh, Zeller, and then, of course, Al Jefferson, who I think is going to be an all-star this year. Who do you have at 6? What's your adjustment?
So my adjustment, I got to slide everybody up one notch. I call me crazy, but I think the Knicks might be 6.
Ooh, okay.
I think they might get some zen in them.
Listen, Phil and Derek Fisher was on with Mike Francesa today. He sounded great. He's a good leader. I'm excited. So you have the Knicks at 6. 7, I've got the Knicks. Where are you going, 7?
7, I might have to go with Charlotte in 7.
Okay.
I might have to say that the Hornets are an up-and-coming team. I totally misread Kemba Walker as an NBA better than average. I mean, I thought he'd be an okay player. I thought he was undersized and he'd be a role player. But this guy's pretty good. And Al Jefferson, remember, we had Pete Vesey on, and Pete Vesey called him the black hole in Atlanta. The ball never gets out of his hands. But you know what? That might be what they need in Charlotte. But anyway, they need an anchor, and he's that guy. So they might go as high as 5. I mean, if you think they could get to Miami, if all the pieces fall into place.
They'll be tough defensively, right, with Kid Gilchrist and Lance at the wings. That's nice defensively on the wings. Pretty interesting how the young guys develop. That will be the key to really help them out. But I think, you know, Lance Stephenson could have been an all-star, should have been an all-star last year. Pacers made a mistake in not signing him, and he gets away for cheap. They didn't, you know, Hayward got the contract offer, but Utah matched it. So good for the Hornets getting Stevenson, who I think is a budding star. And what I like, and I got him in fantasy, our fantasy NBA fantasy basketball draft last night. I got Lance, and I like what he does. He's a stat stuffer, Ray, but not in a negative way. He's a positive stat stuffer. He does a little bit of everything. So we have that.
Led the league in triple doubles.
That's right. And so who do you have at 8? Who's that final playoff spot?
You know, that's hard to predict. I think Atlanta might be there.
Yeah.
Brooklyn might be there. Detroit, if they can put everything together, might be
and
there.
Yeah.
Indiana, you know, how far do they slip? But I'll take Brooklyn. I'll take the Nets.
Ooh.
And I'll say Lionel Hollins with his veteran coaching ability and a healthy Brook Lopez. First, he needs to rub some pixie dust on Brook Lopez and keep him healthy for even, I'll take, you know what, I won't even take 82 games. I'll take 60 games from Brook. If I can get 60 to 65 games out of Brook Lopez, the Nets make the playoffs.
Do you think that they could stay that healthy? I mean, I feel like Joe Johnson's going to have to really carry this team. I don't know if I trust the health of those guys. That's going to be.
Derrick Williams hasn't been healthy since he signed that big contract. Joe Johnson we've always been ready for him to step up from the star to the superstar
level.
He's
sort of a shy leader, right? A shy star.
Plumlee played great, though. I thought he was a great comeback player, and he might win comeback player of the year.
And then they signed Jarrett Jack. Well, not comeback,
Jarrett Jack, who
would be most improved. Most improved, not comeback. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because he was disappointing when he left Golden State. They wanted some big things out of him in Cleveland, but it never happened. So maybe it'll happen in New Jersey.
I think it's a locker room,
Jersey,
bunch of knuckleheads. Bunch of knuckleheads. Well, I'm going to tell you this. In number eight, I like you, I sort of battled in my head between the Nets, Pistons, and the Hawks. And with Horford and Millsap coming back, I really like the Hawks. But for some reason, I'm trusting Stan Van Gundy. And I think the Pistons getting Caron Butler, having Jody Meeks as a shooter, and that spacing, and Drummond becoming a true big man star, learned a lot at the World Cup, got some experience. I have the Detroit Pistons at 8. I got the Nets there at 9 and the Hawks at 10. So that's how I'm going to roll with that.
Okay. All right. So let's finish out the East because the rest of these teams are not making the playoffs. So I have Atlanta just barely missing the playoffs. And then Atlanta, Detroit, Philadelphia, the Celtics, Orlando, and I think Milwaukee's still the worst team, you know, potentially.
So
where do
you have the Pacers? The Pacers you have them at 9?
I have them at 10.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, listen, that's going to be really interesting. I'll tell you this. So I have the Nets, after the Pistons making the playoffs, the Nets at 9, Hawks 10, Pacers dropping down to 11. Then I have Celtics, because Rondo will play. I like Marcus Smart, Magic, Bucks, and I got the Sixers, because I don't know if Embiid will make it there. I do like Noel. They just traded with the Knicks for Travis Outlaw, and then they traded with the Nets, gave up Casper Ware and got Marquise Teague. So the Sixers, that roster with Sims and Hollis Thompson and Noel, and, you know, it's just a weird roster, but I think they'll finish in last and again, get a lottery pick. But I told you, what did I tell you? What, 2018? Watch out for the Sixers. That's going to be my team, man. That's going to be my
2018, right? Joel Embiid for MVP. Sixers win back-to-back titles.
Hey, and we were talking about it with Ian, and I don't know if you heard me, but I'm telling you, watch the Knicks. That contract from Amari will come off the books, and I think next year they'll be able to sign Marc Gasol. And then after that, they're going to try to get maybe Durant or somebody else, but maybe they go for LaMarcus Aldridge if he doesn't re-sign with the Blazers. But Gasol, I think, will join the Knicks next season, and that'll make them really tough. I think he'd be perfect in the system. I really
do. And he can pass, too. So what a great passing big man for Fisher and Phil Jackson's system.
No, definitely. I look forward to it. And you know, look, we both got the Knicks, you know, doing things and making the playoffs, and you got the Nets. So Anthony will be joining us shortly. So let's, you know, I guess we could start the West, or do you want to talk about some of these young players in the East before Anthony joins us, and then we could hold off on the West.
Well, we could talk about the young players. I was going to say, let's head on over to the West. Let's, you know, get it rolling.
Okay, so, I mean, I guess for me, the Western Conference, I mean, we talked about this off air. It's really like 11, 12 deep, and it's scary how, you know, last year, 48 games, the Suns didn't even make the playoffs. So I guess we start there with number one. For me, when I look at the West, the number one seed, it's hard, you know, to predict. But I'm going to go with the Clippers. I think Doc Rivers signing Spencer Hawes, still bringing back that roster, Big Baby there. They actually have real size at the 4 and 5. And then Chris Douglas Roberts, and I like the bench. I just think Blake Griffin develops a jumper, and Chris Paul – is really, he doesn't do them any harm. He's the perfect point guard. So I got the Clippers number one.
I agree. I think the Clippers had a rough season last season with the whole Donald Sterling thing happening right as the playoffs were going on.
Yeah.
I think they have the talent. I think they have the roster. I think they have the leader in Chris Paul. But you know what? the pressure's on Chris Paul. This is his, ninth, tenth season. He needs to get out of the playoffs. I mean, people were talking about Carmelo for years, and they still do, talking about he went to the, you know, he went deep in the playoffs. Even Kevin Garnett, right, until he went to Boston, didn't really get out of the first round, except for that one time when he had Latrell and Sam Cassell on his team. So Chris Paul needs to make it to an NBA Finals, if not win an NBA Finals, to get this monkey off his back. But I still think they have the roster, they have the coach, they have the temperament, and now that they have the whole Sterling thing behind them, Steve Ballmer is going to be a great owner for the players. He's going to be very supportive. I love that team. Number two, I'll go through my top four. So who would get the first, you know, four seeds in the West? I like San Antonio. They're great veterans. The only thing with San Antonio is, are they going to be able to play 82 games? Is the coach going to sit him? Is Pop going to sit him? Are they going to have a situation where the horses only go 50, 55 games? You know, the Parker, Ginobili, Duncan, Kawhi Leonard is a stud about to come into his own as an all-star small forward. So they're my number two. And then I like Oklahoma City, even though Kevin Durant's going to be out. I still think they're talented. I still think Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, when they're unstoppable, and it's their time. I really do. I think it's their time to put this season together, and if Kevin Durant were there all season, they'd be the number one seed in the West. And then finally, I like Houston. I think that despite losing Chandler Parsons, and I think you have a different take on it, but despite losing Chandler Parsons, I think that Harden and the big fella, Dwight Howard, are going to figure out a way to play their roles and be the inside-outside duo that everybody thought they would be. And Patrick Beverley is the key to that team. And we'll see if he can, A, stay healthy, and B, if the league – you know how football, the league catches up to you when you're a rookie quarterback and you do well. So Patrick Beverley, we'll see if the NBA coaches and defensive schemes have caught up to him and if he can lead that team. So to me, that's my fourth seed in the West. So who are your top four?
Yeah, you know, I don't trust that. I don't trust Beverley there. And they're going to miss Ashik and Parsons a lot. So I got the Clippers. Then I have the Spurs. You know, the Spurs are so solid. Like Ian said, right? You don't believe that they're old yet. Somebody's got to prove it on the court. And they have some young help with Leonard and Patty Mills starting the season off hurt, but he'll be back. Joseph, you know, the guys, DL, versatility splitter. Thunder at three. I think Westbrook, who I have in my fantasy draft last night, I think Westbrook is an MVP candidate. And I do think Jeremy Lamb, Ibaka, and some of these guys will have to step up. But I like Anthony Morrow coming over, shooting guard, and he'll be able to score for them a little bit. And then at four, shockingly, people might be shocked by this, but I got the Grizzlies. Remember last year they came on like gangbusters. But I think Zach and Gasol healthy, and then bringing over Vince Carter, Ray, a legit scorer with Tony Allen in the defense. And then I like the rookies, Stokes and Jordan Adams. And I think they have some shooting. They still got their point guards. And let's be honest, Conley, and we'll talk on Friday, Ray and Tay are going to do our top five at each position for the NBA to really get the conversation going. But let's be honest, I think Conley, offense and defensively, plays two ways, is a solid guard. So I got the Grizzlies right there.
Hold on to that thought. We got our caller. We'll talk about the rest of the West in a minute, but we got our caller. Hello, you're on the air with Ray and Tay. Hello?
Anthony, you there?
Anthony, you there? Anthony, you with us?
I think that's Anthony Donahue from SNY joining us. Might be having some...
We might have some technical difficulties there.
Shall we
hear? Anthony, you with us? Anthony, can you hear us? All right, looks like we might be having some technical difficulties with our caller. So let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's keep going with our predictions in the West.
You know, at number five, that 4-5 matchup, Ray, I might surprise some more people. I got the Dallas Mavericks.
Really?
I think the Mavericks getting Parsons and the veterans and getting the guards are going to be Jameer Nelson and Felton.
But Chandler coming
hold
back.
Hold on, hold on. I think this might be Anthony. Hold on, let's see. Hello, Anthony?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
All right, all right. Hey, welcome to Ray and Tate today. How you doing?
What's going on, guys? Good to be with you.
All right.
What's
well,
up,
congrats on the new basketball season and SNY and all the big things that's that are happening in Anthony Donahue's life.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. It's been an awesome last few months, and it's only about to get better as the season's in 48 hours. And obviously, the NBA opens up tomorrow. But my season and season for Knicks fans opens up on Wednesday, exactly. Well, about 49 and a half hours till tip-off. But who's counting anyway?
Exactly. Well deserved. Hey, listen, let me fire off some questions at you because we love to have you on the show and we love to get your opinion. Now, you're around MSG all the time. What's the vibe around the Garden now with Fisher and Jackson, people that Knicks fans have seen win 5 championships and 11 championships? What are Knicks fans feeling? What sense are you getting from the Knicks fans that you're interacting with?
I would say the vibe is pretty good. It's different than last year. Last year, the vibe was like championship. You know, the Knicks got to game 6 of the second round versus the Indiana Pacers in the 2013 playoffs, and a lot of fans felt that they should have been in the conference finals. A lot of fans thought they would have beat the Miami Heat had they got there in the 2013 playoffs. They beat the Heat 3 out of 4 times in the regular season, should have beat them 4 out of 4 times. This year, it's different. The vibe is great, but the vibe is kind of like, we'll wait and see. We don't know what this year's team is going to be, but we're confident with Phil Jackson running the show that we're going to see a championship. We're going to be in the finals in the next few years. So the vibe is great, but as far as the expectations for this year, I would say they're pretty low. I think most Knicks fans think they're making the playoffs, but I don't think there's a high expectation. But the joy, a lot of Knicks fans are very joyful, they're very happy, they're very excited of what's to come, and I think they're most excited because of who's running the show. And that's a man with 13 championship rings, 11 as a coach, and that's Phil Jackson.
Are you saying Knicks fans are realistic? That's a first.
Well,
a little patience.
Yes, yes. I think in going to this year, the vibe I get from Knicks fans, and I talk to plenty of them, I tweet with plenty of them, a lot of them call my show, is that they're setting the expectations really low because they believe in the plan. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be in the conference final, but I think they're better than what people think. It's going to take them some time. They have a brand new offense, brand new defense, brand new coach, brand new GM. A lot of new players. I think they're better than what people think. I'm not saying they're going to be a 3 seed, a 2 seed, like they were a few years ago, but I think they're going to be pretty good. I really do. I got them 47 wins. I'm sure you're going to ask me that win prediction. I got them at 47 wins. I just think that I'm not just saying that wearing orange and blue goggles. I think they're a pretty good basketball.
Okay. Well, real quick, who benefits the most from this new Fisher offense or Fisher-Jackson offense? Who should we look for to be the most improved Nick?
From a numbers standpoint, Carmelo Anthony is going to be the same. He's going to give you about 28 points. He's going to get you about 8 rebounds. But he's going to excel in this offense, mainly because he might still play the same amount of minutes per game. I'm sure he's going to play 37 to 40 minutes a game. But what's going to happen is because of his offense, he's not going to have to work as hard for his shot. Trust me, he's still going to get the ball up. Don't get it twisted. When Carmelo Anthony said he's going to score less than 24 points a game this year, that's hogwash. That's not going to happen. He scored 30 the other night in a preseason victory at the Garden when the Knicks beat the Wizards 103-100 on the Carmelo Anthony game-winning jump shot. But he's going to get easier shots in this offense. He's going to get better looks in this offense. And he also lost 15 to 20 pounds over the summer, which is going to make it – and with that, it's going to make it easier for him to get his shot. So between the offense, him getting in better shape – I think Carmelo Anthony is going to thrive in this offense. Now, Carmelo Anthony would thrive in any offense. As far as another guy that this offense would make excel, you know, a guy like Jose Calderon, he's the tailor-made point guard for this offense. And in this offense, you don't necessarily call it a point guard. You call it a lead guard. And that's what Jose Calderon is going to be for this offense because he can run the offense, he can get guys the ball. Not a great defender, but since we're talking about the offensive side of the basketball, and Jose Calderon is a knockdown shooter. He's a great, not just a good shooter, he's a great shooter, and he also has the ability to take and make big shots in crunch time, which he's done many times at the Garden against the New York Knicks over the years.
Definitely, and he was big for the Mavericks when they pushed the Spurs in Game 7, and I'm sure you remember that in the playoffs. So I want to ask you, speaking of Excel, can our bigs, D'Alembert, Smith, Bagnani, how do you think they're going to play in this triangle, throw in Amari too? How do you think they'll excel on the offensive end and even defensively? What do you think about our bigs?
I think Amari's going to be great on offense this year. I truly believe as long as he stays healthy, he's going to give the Knicks between 16 and 18 points a game. He'll get you a few rebounds. And Amari Stoudemire is probably, assuming he stays healthy, is probably going to give you the most efficient 16 to 18 points a game in the NBA. He will score 16 to 18 points a game on 55 to 60% shooting because his post-game right now is awesome. Every time he gets the ball, it's almost like an automatic 2 points. Jason Smith, high IQ basketball player. He really fit in this offense. He's a guy who can, you know, he can post up. He can hit the 18-footer. I like what I see from Jason Smith. Samuel D'Alembert offensively, he's never going to call for the ball, and that's fine. He'll set picks. He'll set screens. He'll get offensive rebounds. He'll do what he has to do. He'll block shots. In the preseason, he only played about 25 minutes a game, and that's what I expect from Samuel D'Alembert. But in those 25 minutes a game, he blocked about 3 shots a game. So that's something that has to get you very excited. Is he as talented as Tyson Chandler? No, not even close. But can he fill the void of Tyson Chandler as far as blocking shots and rebounding? Yeah, he doesn't bring the leadership Tyson Chandler did. He doesn't bring the ferociousness Tyson Chandler did. But I think, you know, for what he is, as long as he can stay on the court, which has been a problem for Samuel D'Alembert throughout his entire career, is him staying healthy. He plays really hard, man. He's really going to help his team. Andrea Bargnani, I don't know. I'm just not going to answer that. He's just driving.
You got to get that guy healthy first, right? Yeah, he's going to make the first 3 games.
Yeah, Bargnani's a talented player. The thing about Bargnani that just drives me nuts, he was supposed to be some great shooter coming out of Italy, and his jump shot is awful right now. And what drives me crazy, it's a line drive. I mean, it's terrible. I'm getting nauseous talking about Andrea Bargnani right now. Listen, I'm rooting for him. I want him to do well. He's a smart player, has a high basketball IQ. I really just don't know where his head is at. And this is an important year for Andrea Bargnani because he's in a contract year. So, this could be Bargnani's last year in the NBA. So, we'll see what happens.
And he was
Andrea
a number one overall pick.
He was back in the 2006 draft, and that draft was featured, LaMarcus Aldridge, who was a few picks behind him. So,
we'll
see what happens
to Bargnani.
I'm not, listen, I have zero expectations in either of you Knicks fans. No Knicks fan has any expectations for Andrea Bargnani. So, whatever Andrea Bargnani gives you, is
gravy.
It's definitely gravy. It's like extra meatballs with your spaghetti. It's a plus.
So, Ant, let me ask you this. I mean, you're a New York guy. You're in the Garden. I grew up in the Garden, had season tickets growing up, and Ray and Tay, we would go to games. We'd harass the Busher and all that. So I really love Michael Rapaport's, the Garden of Eden 30 for 30 the other night. But right now, who's better in New York? We got the All-Star game here. The festivity Saturday will be in Brooklyn. Ray's got both the Knicks and Nets in the playoffs. The Knicks at 6 and 8. I got the Nets out of the playoffs and the Knicks at 6. Who's better right now, the Knicks or the Nets?
I say the Knicks. I don't think the Nets are going to be that bad. They got a brand new coach in Lionel Hollins. Kevin Garnett had a solid preseason. If Darren Williams can get back to the way he used to play in Utah, Joe Johnson, he'll give you that 20 points a game. The Nets are pretty good. I think the Nets are a playoff team. I think the Knicks are a playoff team. So then the problem is, who's not going to make the playoffs? And that's very interesting. So let's see. Indiana, because you have to add, for the Knicks to make the playoffs, one team has to not make it from last year. But also the Cavs are a lock. So that's two teams. So two teams, and I think the Nets are getting it. I do. So that's two teams that made the playoffs last year, had to not make the playoffs this year for the Knicks and Nets to both get in. And that's going to be tough. I definitely have the Pacers out, although I don't think the Pacers are going to be as bad as people think without Paul George. They obviously lost Lance Stephenson. And they brought in Rodney Stuckey. They still got George Hill. They still got Roy Hibbert. They still got David West. Now, can Roy Hibbert get back to the player he was 2 years ago? I don't know what's going on in that man's head. So that's it. I get the Pacers out of the playoffs, though. I don't think the Pacers are going to be awful, but I had them out of the playoffs. And then the other team, they're going to be good. They got Al Horford coming back another year with Paul Millsap. I just don't think the Hawks – Jeff Teague, they got a solid squad down there. don't see them making the playoffs. So that's it. I got the Hawks and Pacers out with the Knicks and the Nets and the Cavs both. So Knicks and Nets, and the Nets made it last year. So the Knicks and Cavs being the two newbies in the playoffs this year in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Hey, and let's get you. Let us let you get out. Let you get out on this note. So we're talking about the NBA. We both like the Knicks and think the Knicks may make the playoffs and do okay. But we probably all agree they're not making it to the finals. So who do you have in the finals? Who's your finals and who's your NBA champ?
Man, my finals prediction is probably everyone. I got Cleveland there. And I got the Clippers.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm not 100% sold on the Clippers, but I just feel a second year with Doc Rivers. They made so many bad mistakes last year. I mean, I love Chris Paul, but he lost Game 5 versus the Oklahoma City Thunder for that team in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I just think with Doc.
They're going to be good.
And because
they're
of
good.
Doc, if they stay healthy, I think the Clippers take that next step and they get to the finals. And who's going to win? I'm going to say it's going to be a tie. I'm not sure who's going to win. I got. And you, listen, who would have thought 10 years ago you'd have a Clippers-Cavs NBA final?
Oh, I know, right?
So
that,
I hope,
that would make
I hope
people...
it's the Knicks playing in the finals, but my educated prediction, since I'm a member of the media, and, you know,
right.
I don't hide my fandom, but I'm a member of the media, so I'm keeping it professional. So I'm going to go with the Cavs and the Clippers in the NBA Finals this year.
Hey, it
good
sounds
for you.
Official.
Good for you.
Hey, Ant, I got it. But before you go, I got to say one thing though. I'm looking for big things from my man that went to Sullivan County Community College, where me, Preston, and Edgar went. Clee Anthony, early baby. Sullivan General. We're the generals, Ant. I don't know if you know that, but
I heard that. I have his trainer coming on my show tonight at about 9:50 live.
Right.
On the NicksBlog.com. Clay Anthony earlier had a lot of work to do. Some say he was the steal of the draft. He needs to learn, like I always joke around over the last few days, J.R. Smith dribbles way too much, and Clay Anthony earlier doesn't dribble at all. He needs to learn to put the ball on the floor, make something happen for himself. He's extremely unselfish. I just don't know where he's going to get a lot of minutes, assuming the Knicks stay healthy. But I think the Knicks have a good find in Clay Anthony early. I don't know why he slipped to the 34th pick, but he did. The Knicks have him. I'm not sure what you're going to get from him this year, but I'm definitely very excited that he's on this New York Knicks basketball team. And also, shout out to Travis Ware for making the squad. They traded Travis
Outlaw
to
the Sixers.
They traded Travis Outlaw to the Sixers for two cheesesteaks, not even three. Two cheesesteaks, Phil.
But those cheesesteaks are good, man. You know, I'm down with Philly and them cheesesteaks.
Here's
the
thing, though.
Here's the thing. The
best cheesesteaks in Philly are from my man Tony Luke. Tony Luke's a friend of mine. Best cheese. He's also on the show Frank and Food on Spike TV. That in this transaction, Tony Luke, he said he wouldn't even do the trade. So they actually traded Travis Outlaw for two cheesesteaks from a local Hessmart in Philadelphia. Not even from Tony Luke, because declined the trade. Yeah, that's what I heard. This is inside information from Anthony Donahue.
That's crazy.
Hey, listen, keep up the good work with our friend Moke. You tell Moke I said, you know, he knows me from the Hard to Guard days, so he's got to come on Ray and Tay, man.
Yeah, I will. When are you coming back to New York, you complete?
Oh, man, listen, I'll be there probably in a couple months. I'm missing New York. Arizona's doing me well, but there's nothing like the crisp air in New York City, man. I definitely miss it. Listen, when the Knicks win, I'll be there for the parade. Me, you, Edgar, and Paul, and Preston will get together when the Knicks win in two seasons for the parade with Kevin Durant, Marc Gasol, and Carmelo Anthony leading us to the chip.
Oh, man, look at you. You're getting ahead of yourself now. Listen, great ball, hey, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming on. Hey, good luck and have a great season.
Yeah, we'll talk
to
you soon.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon. All right.
Take care.
Great. That was Anthony Donahue from SNY. He's got a great show, Talking Knicks. Also, Knicks Blog Talk Radio on the Anthony Donahue show. So check him out and our good buddy, good guy, Moke Hamilton on the SNY Talking Knicks and the NBA. Let's get back to the preview, Ray. That was a lot of fun with Anthony. The Philly cheesesteaks, we know about those.
Oh, my God, two Philly cheesesteaks. Yeah, but I like Geno's and Pat's. I'm kind of old school, you know?
Yeah,
Geno's
nah,
and
like
Pat's
Geno's.
Down there.
Definitely, definitely. Kind of surprised that they moved Travis Outlaw. Thought he might, you know, be a little bit of a role player on his team.
I
but
actually
Travis,
like him. He's long. He's 6'8". He can shoot.
But you
I
remember
like
Travis Ware. Don't forget, Travis Ware's got talent. He's only 24 from UCLA, 6'10", and he could do some things too. So, you know, not bad. I think the Knicks will have a decent team this year.
You know me,
so,
the Ware brothers. Anybody that could leave North Carolina, I'm not down with them, you know?
I know. But wait a minute. So now I have the Grizzlies at the 4 and the Mavericks at 5. That's going to be a great first-round matchup for me. Who's your 5? Who are you picking in the West?
So I have Houston at 4, Portland at 5. So I have that 4-5 matchup. Remember that one from last year. So they've got that should be a real interesting matchup for me. I love Portland. I think that they've got some young stars. I don't know if they'll be able to keep that team together, so this might be their last season, potentially. LaMarcus Aldridge might go.
It's all about
who
LaMarcus,
knows?
Yeah, if they could keep him. Yeah.
Yeah, but, to me, I love that team, but I still can't see them breaking into the top 4. And some people probably have them behind Golden State, but I just think in a regular season, they'll be the 5 seed. And
well,
then
you know,
Damian
Lillard, that's my guy.
You called it from, even preseason last year. Yeah, that was your preseason rookie of the year. And from day one, he did everything possible to win and deserve that award.
Yeah, no, definitely. So go ahead. You finish, and then I'll do my 6, 7, and 8.
Right,
so
6, 7, and 8. I have Golden State, Dallas, and Memphis. Now, you have both of – I know you have Memphis, and I know you have Dallas pretty high, but I think the Warriors are great. I still think that they don't play any defense. Steve Kerr's not a defensive coach, so I don't know if Steve Kerr's going to get them to play any D. Bogut, potentially. But, you know, has Bogut ever played even 60, 65 games? I need to look at the back of his card. And
maybe he wants a Milwaukee. Maybe.
How many games he's given you. But if Bogut's there and, you know, their fours can play four and their threes can play three, that could be a real tough team. But I still think at the end of the day, they're 6, Dallas is 7, and Memphis, you know, I hear what you're saying. Memphis could be 4, but I have them at 8. I just look at their team and they're great, but they're more of a grinded out playoff nightmare matchup than they are a team that wins 55, because you got to win 55 games or so to be in the top 4 or 5 in the West. So I like Memphis making the playoffs, but at number 8.
Okay, cool. So we'll talk about the teams you left out, because I got one of them in there. So like I left it off 4-5 Grizzlies and Mavs. At 6, I have the Blazers. I like them like you. I think they'll be able to keep LaMarcus Aldridge for some reason. And I think CJ McCollum will get better this year. Obviously, Nicholas Batum and Wesley Matthews are solid at 2-3. And, they got some help with getting over Chris Kaman to play with Lopez. So they're going to be a little bit bigger. The Blazers are going to be dangerous, I think, in the playoffs. Could upset even the Thunder. We'll see. Then I have the Warriors at 7. I think they're going to be better, but I just, like you said, I don't know about their health. David Lee might start to decline a little. Klay Thompson will be better, and Curry. But what they got to do, Ray, they got to stop the turnovers. And I think Sean Livingston, once he gets healthy, will be a good guard rotation off the bench. And then number 8. Yes, folks, I'm out here from New York City, but I'm out here in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Tay is taking the Phoenix Suns over the Rockets to make the playoffs like they almost did last year. I like the fact that they've got the three-guard rotation with Isaiah Thomas, Bledsoe, and Goran Dragic. They signed his brother Zoran. I think Markieff Morris continues to improve. Marcus is good. Maybe they get something from Len, but also P.J. Tucker, Gerald Green, T.J. Warren, once he gets healthy and gets going off the bench as the young rookie, and Plumlee developing. I think the Phoenix Suns are a nightmare matchup and will run teams off the court. Hornacek is a great coach. I got the Suns at 8, and the Rockets are at 9. So let's talk there. The teams that missed the playoffs, I have the Rockets there at 9. What's your 9 through 15, and then I'll do mine.
So I have Phoenix, just barely missing the playoffs. I don't think this is their year. I think next year is their year. They have so many point guards that if this were the all 6'3 and under league, they would win the championship. But it's not, and you need the bigs, and their bigs are just okay. If Alex Len develops, and if the Morris brothers develop even more, then maybe. But I just don't think their front court. T.J. Warren, I actually like him a lot coming out of NC State, ACC Player of the Year. But I don't know that it's this year. It's probably next year. Plus, they have all those draft picks. So I like the Phoenix Suns, just not this year. At 10, I have Denver. At 11, I have New Orleans. And the stud of the NBA in the next few years, Anthony Davis. Not quite his time, but he'll get there. Utah at 12. Dante Exum, I think, will be a very good addition to that team. The Lakers at 13, just a terrible year. Kobe's going out with a dud. He might have a great statistical year, but his team is pretty bad. Minnesota at 14, and I think Sacramento's the worst team in the West.
Wow, okay. So for me, it's Rockets at 9, Pelicans at 10. They could actually get into the playoffs if Oshik and Davis dominate, and Tariq Evans and those guards, Gordon, stay healthy. Should be interesting to see if Jimmer Fredette and Rivers can do anything off the bench. Then I got the Nuggets followed by Kings. I think the Nuggets and Kings are talented. Then the Jazz, Timberwolves, they're going to be talented to watch. And then the Lakers at 15, Ray. I just think it's a weird roster. I do think Randall will be a young stud. I do like Boozer scoring
College
offensively,
Boozer.
But no defense. They don't have real size. And I just think Kobe's alone, and I don't know if he'll be able to stay healthy for a whole season. So let's go to our predictions before we have to close out with the NFL and some World Series talk. So who is your MVP, Ray?
You know what? He's won one before, and I think he's on a mission, and he'll lead his team to the number one or two seed in the conference. I like Derrick Rose to win another MVP.
Woo! I don't think he's going to be healthy enough to quite do that. Maybe a year away. I'm going with the King. He's gone home.
For his
he's
fifth.
Ready. Yes. Not only his fifth, but he is going to be a stud helping out on the get back. He's thinner, so he'll be faster. So he's going to be a stud defensively. He's going to have a career high of assists, and I think LeBron is just going to show out for his fans at home. LeBron James is the MVP, Rookie of the Year.
I think we have the same. Jabari Parker. I think it's the perfect combination of a guy who's skilled offensively a la Carmelo coming out of Syracuse on a bad team that's going to take a lot of shots. He's going to average 20 a game, maybe get 6 or 7 rebounds. He's going to run away with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, but I do think there are a lot of good, talented rookies. Look for Randall, Vonleh, LaVine, Wiggins, a lot of good guys. Well, you're right. And Nerlens Noel is a sleeper, but it's Parker. So, Coach of the Year, Ray, who are you going with?
Ooh, well, I like to number one seed in the West, Glenn Rivers, coaching,
Ooh.
Not in Colum Doc, Glenn.
$10 million a
coaching
year.
Coaching L.A. Clippers, $10 million a year. The pressure's on. He's the GM. He's the coach. He's the psychiatrist. He's the, the peacemaker in L.A. with, the, with the whole Donald Sterling situation.
What he did last year.
I think he leads his team to, they vote after the regular season, but I think he leads his team potentially to an NBA championship. So I like Doc Rivers.
Okay, I'm going with Rick Carlisle. I think they have one more great run. Don't make it, but I think for what he's going to do with the Mavs, who, I have them right there at the fifth seed, he's going to be Coach of the Year, and the Mavericks are going to be a dangerous team. Sixth Man of the Year, Ray, what you thinking?
I think Andre Iguodala,
right, because Harrison Barnes is going to start, probably, I think.
Yeah, so Iggy, who's really a starter, is going to come out there. He might not have the gaudy numbers, but he'll be a stat stuffer in terms of blocks, steals, assists, and that Denver team will be competitive. It's just they're playing in that brutal Western Conference, but I like him as sixth man.
The Warriors. Okay,
yeah, Warriors,
so I'm going with the man that I think he's won it before, if not once, maybe twice, but definitely once. I'm going with Jamal Crawford. I just think he comes in for Redick. He just is so clutch, playoff savvy, and Crawford has really found his niche in the NBA, And that Clipper team, I like them like you do as a final team. So Jamal Crawford's my sixth man. Defensive player of the year.
You know me. I like this kid since he came out of college. In college, I like Anthony Davis. He is as good as it gets in terms of defense. He's, you know, Marcus Camby and then some. In terms of body type and what
right.
he can do, rebound defensively, and he'll lead his team, not this year, but in a few years, he'll lead his team deep into the playoffs.
Okay, well, I'm going with the man that lost weight and just had a baby girl. It's the king, LeBron James. I think this is – he's wanted to get the award like Jordan. I think this year he puts the focus on it because he knows that he's got to be the guy because Love, Varejao, and Waiters are not there yet defensively. LeBron James is going to be the defensive player of the year, hands down. Most improved, Ray, who you got?
We mentioned him a couple times before in the show, Kawhi Leonard. I think it's his time to be a star. He earned the MVP honors in the finals,
yeah.
and I think he's stepping up as not the big four, but a legitimate star a la Rajon Rondo when he took his rightful part as in the conversation
as
top point guard.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the man I mentioned that will bring them Stan Van Gundy's Pistons to the playoffs, and that's Andre Drummond. I think he'll be a solid double-double with 2.5 blocks. I think he's going to get you probably, 17 and 12, maybe even 18 or 19 and 12. I think Andre Drummond is the most improved player. Now, comeback.
Lou Williams up in Toronto. I thought he was always a la Jamal Crawford. He's just instant offense. He'll have great stats. I think he's coming off the injuries last couple seasons. He'll come in and shoot. He'll shoot his way to that award. He'll average like 16 a game, 17 a game, and be just that potent offensive player that they need. So I like me some Lou Williams.
That would be nice. The Raptors have a lot of talent there with Ross, DeRozan, Lowry, and Williams. It's going to be interesting. I'm going with clear cut. Look, he was injured, didn't play that much last year. It's Derrick Rose. He's the comeback player, and he's going to come back to an NBA Finals. So let's talk about the Eastern Conference Finals, how the playoffs work out. Who's going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals this year?
I think it's pretty obvious that it's the Cavs and the Bulls. I mean, I don't see anybody else challenging those two. It's about as much of a lock as I can see. So I think it's Cavs and Bulls, and then you flip a coin.
Okay. I have it Cavs versus Bulls as well, and I got the Bulls winning that 4-3. I think it's going to be a classic, and NBA fans will be treated to that. And then what do you have out west?
I like Cleveland winning.
Okay, Cleveland winning that.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit better offensively.
Six or seven? They win in six or seven?
I think they win in six. I think Chicago won't be able to score in the playoffs. I think they'll shut down Derrick Rose. They'll put LeBron on Derrick Rose, and the other guys won't be able to score.
Dougie
McBuckets isn't ready. I don't think he's ready. I like Cleveland.
Tony Snell, summer league star. Okay, so what about the Western Conference?
For the Western Conference, I love the Spurs. The question is Father Time going to catch up to them? And I don't think so this year. I think this is their last year. But I think the Spurs go up against the Clippers and give the Clippers all they can handle. But ultimately, the Clippers' size finally takes over, and their youth and Chris Paul. And I think the Clippers go to the NBA Finals, beating the Spurs 4-3.
We have the exact same pick. I got Clippers over Spurs. 4-3 and a classic, but I just think this year the bench and no drama and Chris Paul, it's going to be deadly. And Blake Griffin is just another MVP candidate. This year might finish second in the voting, second or third. It'll be LeBron, Westbrook, and Griffin, I think. So the finals, we both have the Clippers. You got the Cavs. I got the Bulls. Who is winning the NBA Finals, Ray?
I think the Clippers beat the Cleveland Cavs, a lot like 4 years ago when LeBron first went there to Miami. He went to the finals and they ended up losing to Dallas, so I think the same thing will happen. LeBron goes to the finals and loses to the Clips in seven games.
Wow, okay. So I got the Clippers versus the Bulls, and for some reason, I just think Thibodeau finally gets it. And
what?
I think the Bulls, I can't stand the Bulls. and I love the Clippers. I want to pick the Clippers, but I still worry about Jordan and Griffin. And I just think Gasol and the whole balance of that team that comes so deep, and Heinrich, Mirotic is going to be a surprise star. I mean, Snell and Butler are better. This team is deep. They're loaded. And Gibson, that rotation, Gibson, Noah, and Gasol is deadly. Gasol's ready. And the Bulls win 4-3 over the L.A. Clippers. So that's
okay.
That's the Ray and Tay Today NBA prediction.
Take it to the bank. Take it to Vegas. No, don't take it to Vegas. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy it. It'll be up on our
website.
Call
in the show and tell us if you agree or disagree.
Definitely. We'll put it up on our website. Go to rayandtaytoday.com. This will be a great episode. Listen to Anthony and Donahue's picks. He's got the Clippers and Cavs. Check out Ian Bagley's picks. What did he have? Spurs and Bulls, I think. So, you know, we'll have the show up.
No, he had Cavs and Bulls. I think he had my pick, yeah.
Oh, did he? Cavs and Spurs?
I mean, he had the Cavs and Clips.
Spurs.
My pick. No, I think he had the Clippers.
No, that was Anthony had Cavs and Clippers.
Anthony had the Cavs and Clippers, yeah.
Ian went with the Spurs. Remember he said?
Ian went with the Spurs. Right, I thought you said Anthony,
Yeah. So, listen, we got to clean up the NFL. Great week, but let's talk about the World Series real quick. Like I thought the Royals would win, but then the Giants come back with an offensive explosion. And then last night we got World Series history and probably one of the best young World Series pitchers ever in Madison Bumgarner. Ray, the Giants are up 3-2. Tuesday night they could end it in Kansas City. What did you think about the Giants' performance the last couple of nights? And can the Royals survive till Game 7?
I don't think so. I thought it would go 7, but I don't think so. You know, the Royals were up 4-1. Think about this. The Royals were up 4-1, and they were looking good. They were looking good to go up in this series and maybe run away with the series. And then the Giants proceed to score 10 unanswered on Saturday night and win 11-4. And then Madison Bumgarner was just Madison Bumgarner, and he's going to win the series MVP just like he won the LCS MVP. And they win 5-0. So they've outscored them in the last, 13 innings, 15-0. I don't think Kansas City recovers. I think the Giants go ahead and win this. They win their third in the last 5 years, and just
dynasty.
I want
the
Royals
to
make
word.
It. What's that?
We have to say the D word, dynasty.
Yeah, you have to. Three. I mean, look, the Yankees did 3 out of 4 and then 4 out of 5. The Red Sox did 3, but their 3 spanned, 10 years? It was 04, 07, and 11. So in 7, right. 8 seasons. These guys are doing it in 5 seasons. That's pretty amazing.
It's amazing. And with, you could say, not
they haven't
the
won it yet,
part.
But that's what we're predicting it.
But, well, I'm still going to believe with the Royals, but I'll say this. With not the best roster and, you know, not the biggest money spent, but I wouldn't be surprised, even though I have the Royals in 7, if the Giants, look, with the momentum, if they could just finish it. But I think Kansas City, Tuesday night, that crowd is going to be rocking, and I believe we're going to have a Game 7. I think the Royals in Game 6, their bats will come alive. I think they'll wind up winning like 5-3, and I think that they will, they'll keep it going. I really do. The Royals are so scrappy, and they're not done playing ball yet. I was really impressed, though. Brandon Crawford, he's a star. Crawford's a young star. You love the Big Panda. The Giants are just – they're this is like the most understated champion and dynasty that you could imagine, right?
And you know what's funny? When you write their epitaph, you think about it, they signed Barry Zito 5-6 years ago, and he was terrible. And they played him $20 million a year, and I just thought that Brian Sabian just ruined it for the whole franchise, and they couldn't recover from that. And then they have Tim Lincecum winning 2 Cy Youngs, and then he turned out to just – fall off
fade
the
away.
Cliff, though.
Yeah,
he can't play,
except for no hitters. Perfect game.
Yeah, except for no hitters, right? But he lost, for some reason, he lost his ability to pitch. And yet, they come up with these guys and Madison Bumgarner, and then they bring Hunter Pence over from the Phillies, and then Sandoval and Bell.
Michael
and
Morse
Pagan.
This year.
Yeah, and they have all these guys. And, of course, Buster Posey was a great guy who came up through their system, got hurt,
the
and then found
the glue.
Back.
The glue, yeah.
You know what? Good for them. They got a great ballpark. And you're right, Dynasty, man. You know, they are quiet Dynasty.
So let me say this, right? We do have to give a shocking rest in peace to the young Tavares, who died in Dominican Republic, Ray.
Horrible news.
For the Cardinals, really devastating. It's hard to believe, right? We just saw him playing. So, that you know, a rest in peace to him and the Cardinals and the whole Cardinal family and Cardinal fans. They could have easily been in the finals. Before we get to the NFL, in college, Tuesday night, and we'll talk about it on Friday, will be the first time the committee meets and they release the top 25. And, you know, we see who they have as their final four. Let's real quick, who do you think will be in that final four? Ole Miss, like we predicted, lost to LSU. So who right now, who would be your four teams, you know, that you think the committee would say tomorrow night is the final four?
Well, it's funny because are they the top four teams in the nation or the top four teams, you know, by ranking or the top four teams you think the best four teams? Because if I were to choose the best four teams, I'd probably go.
How they've been playing. I mean, it's just, you know, that's how they're doing it, you know. But
yeah, so you got to go Mississippi State and Florida State have to be your two locks. Right. Because they're the undefeated.
I would
and
agree
then
with that.
You got to choose, you know. Who do you choose? You got to choose between Alabama, Auburn, Oregon, and to me, Michigan State and Notre Dame, right? So you got to choose two of the next four. And to me, you know, it's hard to leave out Notre Dame, but I would probably say Alabama and Alabama and Oregon because Oregon beat Michigan State.
But Auburn.
You know what, and you're not wrong for taking Auburn. Good thing is they'll play it on the field. They'll play it on the field, and it's really premature to do this in October.
It is.
In November because we're not the last game.
The best loss, you could actually say Notre Dame. You could put Notre Dame in there, and people wouldn't be upset with you.
Yeah, couldn't be mad at you, no.
So I would have to say Mississippi State, Florida State, Bama, and I would throw in Notre Dame because I think when it comes down to it, they probably it's going to be hard for me to say, but they'll beat USC and ASU. And how about Utah beating USC? We thought it would be close, but we went with USC and give Utah credit. That was a big win.
Big
win. So let's get to football because we got to predict Monday and Thursday night. But just wrapping up the weekend, Ray, I got to say, as a Steeler fan, I should have never gone against my team, and wow. We had three quarterbacks pass for over 400 yards. Ben goes 40 for 49 for 522 and six touchdowns, Ray. That right
Big
there shows
Ben.
You that he is Big Ben, the Hall of Famer Big Ben, two Super Bowl rings Big Ben. And we, you know what? We put the AFC on alert, not just the AFC North. We put the AFC on alert. Respect us because not only do we have Ben Brown, 10 receptions for 130-something yards, and Bell, we also have who I thought he would be from Clemson.
They are who
Martavius,
I thought they were.
My man, Martavius Bryant, Ray. He will be a receiver for the second half of the season, a rookie receiver that you have to watch out for. And by the way, this is the best rookie receiver class we've seen in years. The receivers are amazing this year. And Bryant is going to be a stud. Had two touchdowns. I mean, hey, I salute my Steelers. I really do. They look good.
You know what? I get on you when your Steelers aren't good, but I got to give it up when they are. And wow, they look good, man.
Yeah. So then we got to salute the Patriots. The Bears, they have the bye, and then they go to Green Bay. We talked about it before on Friday's show. We thought they would muster up something. They got slaughtered. Brady, LaFell, Gronkowski, it's a wrap. I think they just scored another touchdown. LaMarcus.
102?
Oh, he's a clown. He celebrates, and then now he's out for the season, Ray. along with, you know, and it's sad to say, along with Brian Quick and Jake Long for the Rams. But Lamar Houston, how silly is that to celebrate sacking a backup quarterback when you're down, what, 3 touchdowns? I mean, the Bears are a mess. Can we just say the Bears are done?
Yeah, they're done.
And that Patriot team, and I know you know this, that's the team, Ray, that I picked to go to the Super Bowl. They look good, and we see them next weekend against the Broncos. What do you think about Brady and the Patriots?
You know what? Shame on us, because
they are always
going to bounce back under Bill Belichick. They may have flaws, but they'll find a way to cover up the flaws, and they'll find a way to make the best lemonade out of the lemons. And whenever you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you have a fighting chance. And shame on us for writing them off so early in the season, especially given that their schedule wasn't that daunting. It's not like they were playing world beaters, you know?
No, you're right. You're right. Real treat for NFL fans Sunday morning to see the great comeback by the Lions, 22-21. The Falcons, they are done. I think Mike Smith might not survive this. He might lose his job. They need a whole new defense and an offensive line. But we got to start really saluting the Detroit Lions. They're doing this without Megatron. And Golden Tate is a star, Ray. Wow.
Yes. Yes, he is. And we thought he would just be a nice little compliment. But when Megatron comes back, that's a nice little crew that Stafford has. And then if this kid, Eric Ebron can be, you know, the pass-catching tight end that they thought he'd be, that offense is even more potent than it was the last few years. And Stafford's a 5,000-yard passer already.
With 3 running backs.
In his past, yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. And then before we get out of here with our picks, we got to say what the Bears could not do, the Saints did. Sunday Night Football, 44-23. We hope Aaron Rodgers is okay. He has the bye week. But the Saints are still alive. And Thursday night, Ray, they play the Panthers for the division lead. And, you know, the Panthers, they played – did the Panthers win? Yeah, the Panthers – no, the Panthers lost a slugfest. That's right. And and you know what? You can't write them off yet. The Seahawks, 13-9 on the road. They get the scrappy win. The Bengals get a shocking scrappy win. Steve Smith with that penalty. I don't know if you call that or not. Whatever, 27-24. But we got to talk about the battle out here in Arizona. What did you think about the Cardinals and Eagles? That was a classic game. Comes down to the last play. I called it with my son. They were going to Matthews. He caught it, but out of bounds. 24-20, the Arizona Cardinals win, and Fitzgerald gets off.
I called the game, didn't I?
You did.
I told you it'd be a close game, and I've been going against the Cardinals all season, but I was like, nah, they got this.
That's good.
So
that was a good one. They're tough.
If Seattle had lost, that would have been great. I'd say, look, they almost lost, but they pulled it off against Carolina. But I tell you what, man, they're doing something right down there in Arizona, and you guys keep playing the way you're playing.
Might have
you win
home
yourself
field advantage
division.
Of the Super Bowl.
You might even have home field.
You have home field of
Seattle
the Super Bowl.
Yeah, could you imagine the first team to host the Super Bowl?
The Niners were close, right? When they played against the Dolphins, it was at Stanford Stadium in Palo Alto.
Right, it was at Stanford. It was very close, very,
very
close
much
in
a
terms,
home game. Yeah.
But it wasn't there. That was the closest, right? But yeah, could you imagine to have the Super Bowl in Glendale?
It'll be crazy.
It'll be crazy, Ray.
So that's good. And you know, Buffalo wiped off the Jets. Geno gets benched. 3 interceptions. 43-23. And Mike Vick is the starter against the Chiefs next week, and the Chiefs look good. They won, killed the Rams. Let me ask you this. Should Mike Vick start? Yeah, Geno's done. We know that now. So I think it's official. They're going to draft Hundley, Winston, or Mariota. But should Mike Vick, without question, start the rest of the season? What do you think?
I think he starts until he's ineffective. At this point, you're just trying to win games and see if Percy Harvin you want to keep for next year, see if Jeremy Curley, Cumberland, Ivory, Johnson, if all these guys, Amaro,
it's all
these guys are your building
right?
blocks. Yeah, so at this point, you have no loyalty, you have no allegiance. You pay the guy, you play the guy who's going to give you the best chance of winning. Because I believe
I really think it's
Vic. Yeah, I think it's Vic, exactly, until Vic is ineffective or gets hurt, which either
Sims.
Of them could occur.
Do you give Matt Sims a chance? Yeah, I saw the press conference today with Rex. I think Vic will, I think he'll start a couple of weeks. We'll see. We won't even touch the Florida State stuff. We'll talk about a Friday investigation with Carlos Williams. That's a mess. So Monday Night Football and then Thursday Night Football, Ray, as we wrap up the show tonight. How about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
No bye week, so they could go 7-1 if they win tonight. I have them in my NFL Survivor pick. I'm actually, ladies and gentlemen, a Cowboy fan tonight. I think they put it on the Redskins. I don't think Colt McCoy is, it's a great story, but sorry, son. Going home to Texas, he's got tickets for friends and family, whatever. I say the Cowboys and DeMarco Murray lead me to some fantasy football victories. And, I'll say 26-16. They cover the spread for all you Vegas guys. And the Cowboys, I'll say 27-16, and the Cowboys dominate, and the Cowboys win on Monday Night Football against the Redskins.
I hate these games. I hate these games so much, these divisional games, especially divisional games that you're supposed to win. You end up losing them all the time. But
right.
I'll say
not
the Cowboys do their thing, but they'll have a close game because I don't think they're blowing anybody out, especially not the Redskins, the team that hates them. I still think that rivalry holds tight. I think the Cowboys win a real tight one, 23-20.
Wow, shocker. So the Redskins covered a spread. Okay. Thursday night, Saints against Carolina Panthers, Ray, for the division. I believe it's in Carolina, right? On Thursday night? Yeah. So can the Saints on the road where they're 0-4 and 3-0 at home, can they win in Carolina? I'll tell you what I say. I say no. I say the Panthers find a way. Stewart is back. I don't know if Williams will be healthy, but I think that close game with Seattle at home, I think the Saints, they just don't travel well. And to play against a bruising defense like that, I think the Panthers slow the Saints down, and I think the Saints actually lose. I'll take the Panthers 23-21. Late field goal.
Really? See, I think the Saints can still score on anybody. And if Jimmy Graham is back and Mark Ingram's running like he's running and Drew Brees is Drew Brees, then I think that the Carolina Panthers, who have been struggling offensively except for two games where they broke out, I think they are going to have to score more points than they can. I think even though this team struggles a little bit on the road, I think they'll still be able to put up 27, even on that Carolina defense. I don't think Carolina can score more than that. So I like the Saints winning 27-20 and taking over the division. So from potentially going, 2-5 to now first place in 2 weeks.
Wow, that would be big, And the Saints, they might have that momentum. They really might. So that's going to be interesting Thursday night battle on the NFL Network. No more CBS. That was interesting what CBS did, and, they'll continue. NFL released that next year, Ray, not three, five games in London. And they've already had two this year, and they have one more coming up. I forgot who the matchup is in a couple of weeks. But five games in London. The only way I like that, it's horrible. Wait, but the only way I like it is if all of them start 9:30. So you wake up for breakfast with football, because when you have them at 1 o'clock, there's no emphasis on it and nobody cares. But if you're going to try to give the London games, some props, then make it the separation and have those 5 weeks, the 9:30 game. That's the only way I like it.
And you get to see a full game. And we talked about that.
We've been trained that
we watch games just on offense on the NFL red zone.
Yeah,
but here
zone,
we see the game start to finish.
No, I think that would be the only way to do it. So, look, great show, NBA preview. I tell you this, it's going to be fun. We got our fantasy basketball. We'll talk about that. Friday we come back, NFL, college football, maybe the end of the World Series, the start of the first couple of NBA games, opening night. We've got, Dallas at the Spurs, Lakers, Rockets, and then there's a third game. Who's that? That third matchup. I think it's the Pelicans?
Yeah, I think so. Hold on, I'll pull it up.
Yeah. Nah, we'll pull it up here.
We need to go out there. So yeah, it's New Orleans. Yeah, it's Orlando at New Orleans.
Oof.
Dallas at San Antonio and Houston at the Lakers.
With no Oladipo, so you probably look for the Pelicans. Maybe the Mavericks get that upset and the Rockets to go spank LA in LA on opening night. So that'll be fun. And we'll come back Friday, talk about the first couple of games. We'll talk about the top 25, what they say, World Series winner, and NFL Week 9, Ray. Week 9.
I can't believe it. We're past the halfway point. I'm already depressed.
So go to RayandTateToday.com, listen to the show, check out our NBA picks. It's going to be fun. And on Friday, we'll have a special treat. Ray and Tate are going to give you our top 5 in the NBA at each position. That should be fun. We'll have a lot of conversation and debate about it. Not all time, not the whatever, but right now, top 5 in the NBA at each position. So send us, email us your picks. And great show, Ray. Everybody,
yeah,
thanks
absolutely.
For listening.
Have a great sports week, and we'll see you on Friday.
How about them Cowboys? Thanks
How
a
about
lot.
Them Cowboys?
Thanks a lot to the Urban Daily, ESPN, Ian Bagley, and SMY's Anthony Donahue for joining me. NBA preview show. We're out.